This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump apologizes to Kavanaugh. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, October 9. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
At a ceremonial swearing-in, President Trump told new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh that he was sorry for his pain and suffering during the nomination process.
The stretch limo involved in a wreck that killed 20 people in New York had failed inspection, and its driver was not properly licensed.
Hurricane Michael is expected to make landfall on the Florida Panhandle tomorrow. Evacuation notices are out. Hear the projected path of the storm.
And on a lighter note, the popularity of the name Jacob and how it's overwhelming the places where we work and play.
So Jacob was actually in 2017 the 10th most popular boy's name, but between 1999 and 2012, so for a span of 13 years, it was the number one name for boys.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Gershman on how companies and sports teams adjust to so many young men named Jacob. He's here in about 20 minutes. The limousine involved in the upstate New York crash that claimed 20 lives on Saturday failed inspection last month and was driven by a man who didn't have the required license. The wreck took place near a farm stand and cafe in the town of Schoharie, about 30 miles west of Albany. The stretch limo was rented from Prestige Limousine. According to federal safety records, vehicles from Prestige were taken out of service four times after their last five inspections. Robert Sumwaltz is head of the National Transportation Safety Board.
We are certainly interested in any driver medical fitness issues that may be there. We don't know if there are, but we will be looking into that. We'll be looking to see if fatigue may have been an issue. The toxicology results.
The group had tried to hire a different vehicle for their event, but it fell through. And the one from Prestige was a last-minute substitution. In a strange twist, records show Shahed Hussein, who's listed as the owner, acted as an FBI informant in two terrorism cases after he pleaded guilty in 2003 to illegally helping people obtain driver's licenses. President Trump has apologized to new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh for a confirmation process in which he faced multiple allegations of sexual misconduct and assault. At a ceremonial swearing-in yesterday, the president said Judge Kavanaugh was proven innocent under historic scrutiny.
What happened to the Kavanaugh family violates every notion of fairness, decency, and due process. Our country, a man or a woman, must always be presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty.
Mr. Trump ordered an FBI investigation last month after some Republican lawmakers said they were hesitant to confirm Justice Kavanaugh without further examination into the allegations. The investigation faced broad criticism from Democrats that it wasn't appropriately comprehensive. After the investigation concluded, the White House and Republican lawmakers said it didn't corroborate the allegations. Justice Kavanaugh, of course, has denied them. Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court gives Chief Justice John Roberts a historic opportunity to lead a firmly conservative court, but it also presents a considerable challenge for a Chief Justice tasked with steering through national political turbulence that threatens to chip away at the court's legitimacy. It's a story by Wall Street Journal Supreme Court correspondent Brent Kendall. Brent, what's up here?
John Roberts is the man in the middle of the Supreme Court, both literally and figuratively. So, you know, he leads the court, he's the face of the federal judiciary, and now after Justice Kennedy retired, the way the ideological breakdown works on the court, he actually is sort of sandwiched between four people who are more conservative than he is and four people who are on the liberal side of things. So he is part of a five-justice conservative bloc. It's more conservative than it's been in recent memory. And so he's in a position where the court could do a lot of things that he would like to do with the law, But as we say in the story, I mean, the big challenge for him is, you know, Brett Kavanaugh comes to this court after this brutal political fight, you know, and some inflammatory remarks he made in his second Judiciary Committee appearance. And, you know, the whole process just is not the sort of process that reflects terribly well on the court. And so the challenge for the chief will be to try to steer the court through these, you know, pretty rough partisan times without also just looking like another partisan body.
Yeah. How do you steer it, though? Because, I mean, it's rare you ever see any of these Supreme Court justices, like, you know, do an interview or be public. So what does that mean to him to steer it?
Well, so I guess a few things. I mean, there have been times the chief has taken different approaches. I mean, there have been a lot of times where he clearly favors incremental type rulings. So instead of trying to tackle some big hot button issue head on and dealing with every aspect of it, you know, he'll kind of break it down and take a micro part of that and have the court issue a ruling that's not so sweeping. So that's one way to minimize the court's role a little bit. Now, there have been other times, and on issues that he really, really cares about, he's not that interested in doing that. So, you know, that's a calculation he will have to make. I mean, another question for the court, I mean, there are times and there are big cases that the court will not be able to avoid. I mean, if lower courts are split on the proper outcome of some big legal issue, the Supreme Court really doesn't have a choice but to take it. So it's certain things they won't be able to duck. But it is the case where the court has almost entirely discretionary docket, meaning they can pick and choose which cases they want to hear. So, you know, if somebody brings a case that tries to overturn Roe v. Wade, for example, the court could just say, no, we're not going to hear that case right now. And so that may be a way he could try to deal with some of this.
Interesting. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Supreme Court correspondent Brent Kendall. His piece is called Brett Kavanaugh Confirmation Battle Tests Supreme Court's Chief Justice, talking about John Roberts. It's interesting, right? I mean, 2 weeks ago, maybe Brett Kavanaugh might be the only justice most people in America could even name. And now, all of a sudden, the high court is under this renewed spotlight.
For most of them, when they go through the confirmation process, they have some visibility for a little while, but then that kind of fades. But, you know, it sure does look like Justice Kavanaugh will be in a similar boat as Justice Clarence Thomas, who had a similar sort of thing. And, you know, and Justice Thomas is probably easily the most recognizable member of the court for the public off the bench. And, you know, the people I expect will have long memories of the Kavanaugh proceedings, just like they did the Thomas proceedings. You know, and for him now, the challenge for him will be just to get back to judging cases and seeing if there's, you know, over time, any way some of this dies down. I mean, whether some of it dies down may depend, of course, on how he rules. And so, you know, he has some calculations to make, just like the Chief Justice does. I mean, if a new Justice Kavanaugh takes, you know, very bold stances in cases, you know, that cut in a strongly conservative direction, then, you know, people are probably on the left are going to criticize him for that. Yeah. If he finds ways to moderate and to forge common ground with, you know, with a cross section of people in the court, then maybe slowly that sort of makes things a little better for him.
Thanks, Brent. That's Wall Street Journal Supreme Court correspondent Brent Kendall. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. Hurricane Michael is gaining steam as it heads up the Gulf of Mexico toward the Florida Panhandle, where it's expected to strike as a major storm by tomorrow. Florida Governor Rick Scott said it could be the most destructive one to hit the Florida Panhandle in decades, saying water will come miles onshore and could easily rise over the roofs of houses. Mr. Scott extended a state of emergency yesterday to a total of 35 counties. National Guard troops have been activated. Florida agencies were preparing special equipment like airboats, all-terrain vehicles, and four-wheel drive vehicles to respond.
We're going to do everything we can to keep the roads open. We're going to do everything we can to make sure there's fuel availability. availability of it, do not wait. If your area is supposed to evacuate, evacuate now.
Officials ordered mandatory evacuations in the coastal counties of Bay, Gulf, Franklin, Wakulla, and Citrus. Michael's projected path takes it across Georgia and the Carolinas, where it could leash unheavy rain later in the week. The Carolinas, as you know, are still soaked from Hurricane Florence. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. I've been a Harry's guy for years now. If you're after a quality value with your shave, Harry's is your company. For a limited time only, by the way, new customers can save big on a shave set from Harry's with the code DEAL at harrys.com. You get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, plus shave gel and a travel cover for just $3, all with free shipping as well. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each, less than half the price of a leading competitor. They got rid of upcharges and offer fast, free shipping. And they stand behind the quality of their products, too. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know. They'll give you a full refund. For a limited time, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of our program. New customers get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with the code DEAL at harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. That means you get a starter set that comes with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use the code DEAL at harrys.com. Again, harrys.com and the code DEAL at checkout to claim your offer. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court in a Supreme Court with a new conservative majority takes the bench today as Brett Kavanaugh, narrowly confirmed after a bitter Senate battle, joins his new colleagues to hear his first arguments as a justice. President Trump held a ceremonial swearing-in for Kavanaugh last night where he apologized to him for a fraught confirmation process.
On behalf of our nation, I want to apologize to Brett and the entire Kavanaugh family for the terrible pain and suffering you have been forced to endure.
The ceremony was attended by a handful of Republican senators, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, as well as by the other 8 Supreme Court justices. A ceremony for the victims of the limousine crash that killed 20 people ended with participants lifting candles above their heads to signal unity. Over 1,000 people jammed a riverside park in Amsterdam, New York for last night's vigil as victims' relatives tried to come to grips with the tragedy that happened as a group of friends and family were on their way to a 30th birthday party. Meanwhile, Governor Andrew Cuomo told reporters that that limo should not have been operating.
That vehicle was inspected by the New York State Department of Transportation last month and failed inspection and was not supposed to be on the road.
The supersized limo ran a stop sign and hit a parked SUV on Saturday in Schoharie. Authorities have yet to say how fast the limo was going or determine why it failed to stop. Some 12,000 people were evacuated after a fire and explosions hit a Ukrainian Defense Ministry ammunition depot early this morning. Ukraine's State Security Service says it's investigating possible sabotage. No casualties reported. He is the new number one. Drew Brees last night became the NFL's career leader in passing yards, while leading the New Orleans Saints to a 43-19 win over the Washington Redskins. Brees broke Peyton Manning's all-time record by hitting Tre'Quan Smith for a touchdown in the first half. The call on WWL.
Drops back, looks to the far sideline, wide open, Tre'Quan Smith. And Tre'Quan Smith is going to go to the end zone. Drew Brees has done it. You have just witnessed history in New Orleans. Drew Brees is the NFL's all-time leading passer.
The game was temporarily stopped, and Brees was given the ball that set the milestone.
I happened to be watching at the time. Mm-hmm. So he goes to the sideline to greet his wife and 4 kids.
Right.
The 3 boys, like, are, you know, big enough, he kneels down to hug them or whatever. The daughter, who's younger, she, like, completely shies away from his sweaty kiss, like, offers him her shoulder in her mother's arms. It was funny. So 71,000-something yards he's thrown for.
Yep.
At 1,760 yards per mile. That's 40 miles he's thrown
40
for
miles.
Over the
Good
course of his career. 23 minutes after the hour. For more than a dozen consecutive years, beginning in 1999, Jacob was the most common name given to newborn boys in the U.S. Now all those Jacobs are growing up, proliferating in classrooms, sports teams, online dating sites, including Tinder, where Jacob or Jake is the most common guy's name among 18 to 19-year-olds. Here's how some manage the infiltration of Jacobs and Jakes at work and play from Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Gershman. Jacob, set this up.
So Jacob was actually in 2017 the 10th most popular boy's name, but between 1999 and 2012, so for a span of 13 years, it was the number one name for boys in America. So it's not that it really hit its peak early on in that span, in that 13-year period, but you're sort of noticing it now because all those Jacobs are growing up, they're entering high school, college, yeah. They're finding their first jobs, they're on sports teams, they're on dating sites, so it's now just getting to be noticeable.
Okay, you open the story with the University of Washington's football team and their embarrassment of riches when it comes to Jakes. Explain what they had to do.
Yeah, they had, there was a total of, I think, six Jacobs on the team, and four of them were quarterbacks. So you can imagine if you're trying to coach them how there could be a communication issue. So I think it was in August, in early August, before the start of the season, I guess they were all sort of summoned into a room, and they had to kind of figure out a plan going forward of what they would be called, and only one of them got to be called Jake, and that was the senior starting quarterback. And the others had to either go with their last name or shortened versions of their last name, so they didn't get to be called Jake. But I think they're all happy with how it worked out.
That's funny. Even on the social front, it was funny. You talked to that the young woman from the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, who basically said she's starting a petition to take them out.
Yeah, I think that's one of the it's not just the Jakes who are noticing it. Obviously, it's the people who are friends with the Jakes. And so she had her own system. Her system was basically forgetting their last name and just using kind of this context mnemonic device where it was Jake from work. I guess there was another one, my friend Maddie's friend Jake. Jake from chemistry.
We were speaking with Wall Street Journal legal reporter Jacob Gershman. He's written a funny piece entitled, "How Bad is the Jacob Glut? Half your staff must be renamed." Obviously, that's probably in some way hits home personally for you. Did you ever get called out for like, oh no, not another Jake or Jacob?
It never really bothered me. I mean, when I was growing up, this was really before the Jacobs started proliferating. I think I was the only one in my elementary school and high school.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Gershman. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, October 9. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Warnings along the Florida panhandle about Hurricane Michael. Licensing and inspection problems tied to the deadly limo crash in New York. Google expected to introduce new Pixel phones today. Pop star Katy Perry stepping away from music to focus on other aspects of her life. CNN reporter Caitlin Collins apologizing for tweets from college when she used homophobic language. Dodgers and Astros have moved on in baseball's playoffs. And the bacteria on your restaurant table. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. You heard the story of the fatal limo crash that killed 20 people in upstate New York. Just seeing this headlines all over breaks your heart, right? But for some people, even though they may not know anyone involved, they find themselves grieving, even feeling sick inside, maybe even helpless. Why does this happen? and how can we manage? We're joined now by Dr. Judith Orloff, psychiatrist and clinical faculty member at UCLA. Doctor, what's happening in these cases?
One thing that's happening is that many people are highly empathic, and what they do is their heart goes out for other people, but they also take on that sadness into their own bodies, and a lot of their past traumas are triggered. And so I wrote a book called The Empath Survival Guide about these people who are so sensitive and so loving, but they take on too much, and that's what happens in these kind of accidents and horrific situations, is they take too much on in their body and they go to bed. They become exhausted or anxious or depressed. And so it's really important to learn how to set boundaries and to center yourself and realize that you're not them, but your heart can go out to them, but it's not healthy to take on other people's anguish.
What is their nature that they take on this stress?
Well, it's interesting. It's science, has done some research on this, and they think that it's a hyperactive mirror neuron system, and the mirror neurons are the compassion neurons in the brain. Where I'm an empath, too. That's why I have such an interest in it. I'm a psychiatrist and an empath. And it's thought that the mirror neurons, the compassion neurons, go on overdrive. And when, for instance, if someone is on a CT scan and, that you love and they're getting pricked with a needle, your mirror neurons get activated, but much more so in highly empathic people.
Mm. So how do you begin to set boundaries then if you realize that when you see something or hear something tragic in the news, you know it's going to affect you because you're an empath? How do you begin to set those boundaries?
Well, one thing I suggest all my empath patients is to take news fasts, and not become addicted to the news, because if you have that constant onslaught of stress and negative news, it's just too much for anyone's system, and people become addicted to it. So just take mini fasts, go out in nature, meditate, exercise, be with a friend and laugh. So that's one tool. But also, just notice if past traumas get triggered. For instance, if you lost your father, and a man was lost in this current accident. Now, your pain about losing your father is triggered, so you have to know the difference, because it could make a big difference to know that, I'm dealing with this in addition to the current situation. And also do a lot to self-nurture. Do something really kind to yourself. If you're, taking on too much of what you hear in the news, be able to meditate, go outside, learn that no is a complete sentence with people, because empaths don't know how to set boundaries with what I call energy vampires, people who are draining. Mm. And so if you're not able to say no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, or no, it doesn't feel good if you're criticizing me, whatever, the types of energy vampires are, the criticizers, the blamers, that can make all of this worse.
Yeah.
You want to be around loving, supportive people when you hear horrific things in the news. You don't want to be around energy vampires who I write about who just drain your energy.
Right. We're speaking with Dr. Judith Orloff. She's a psychiatrist, also a clinical faculty member at UCLA. She's got a book called The Empath's Survival Guide, and we're talking about coping with tragedy in the news, like that horrific stretch limousine accident in upstate New York in which 20 people were killed. Can the empaths who take on all this stress from other people's tragedy cause themselves long-term harm?
Oh, definitely. And empaths who don't have the skills that I'm writing about in the book could become agoraphobic. They never want to go outside. They have panic disorders. They can have physical diseases, a lot of immune deficiency disorders, because they're on sensory overload all the time.
Wow.
Where they're just being bombarded and don't know how to stop it. And so, I believe that empathy is a trait that's going to save the world. I really do. I feel so strongly about it. It's something I teach all my patients how to develop. To be loving, to be able to be with somebody despite their differences and try and understand where they're coming from is the first step to healing. You see, so we need to have empathy, but we don't need to take on the suffering of the world.
Psychiatrist Dr. Judith Orloff, clinical faculty member at UCLA. Again, the book is called The Empath's Survival Guide. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, with Hurricane Michael heading toward the Florida Panhandle, the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office has a message for the Weather Channel's Jim Cantore. Stay away from here. The law enforcement agency took a friendly jab at the meteorologist who has a reputation for being the one guy you really don't want to see when there's a weather disaster in your area. The office turned to Facebook to issue a fake trespass warning for Cantore. The warning, complete with photos and a physical description of the weatherman, 5'9", bald, hazel eyes, identifies Cantore as a person of interest and adds that the SRSO would prefer he make non-business related visits only and winter months preferred. The office makes it clear the trespassing warning isn't real, adding a line at the bottom of the warning that reads, "This is not a real trespass. We like Jim, just not under these conditions." The post has been shared nearly 10,000 times since being posted yesterday afternoon.
Very clever. Yes. Very clever. Yeah, if Cantore comes to town,
yes,
probably not good.
Right, right. And hopefully you already are out of town by the time he makes it into town. Right?
Also a good point.
Right. See, you know, it's obviously a serious warning's going out there for folks in that area.
This will be another one of those where the reporters are standing on the shoreline,
yes,
hanging on to their hoods,
right,
of their rain jackets,
right,
right, as the wind and rain pounds their microphone. They're holding onto a lamp post to show just how dangerous the 100-mile-an-hour winds are. It's,
right, right.
Yeah, and one of those things.
And as far as we know, we haven't seen Cantore doing that with like somebody just kind of strolling by in the background like that.
Right.
Happened last time during Hurricane Florence. Yeah. His distress is generally legit as far as we can tell.
Or the reporter in the canoe.
Right.
And people walk by in ankle-deep water.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, Gordon, there's a mail thief in West Virginia with an unusual calling card. A Charleston-area woman is warning neighbors to beware after her mail was stolen and replaced with a laminated photo of a sunglasses-wearing llama. Stacy Tinney said she was confused when she looked into the mailbox at her home last week and found nothing but the aforementioned llama pic. Tinney reviewed security camera footage and spotted someone in a black pickup truck removing the mail from her mailbox and replacing it with the animal photo. The truck and the alleged thieves were also spotted elsewhere in the neighborhood. Charleston police are investigating. Stealing mail, by the way, is a federal offense.
Yeah, that's so not some slap on the wrist from like your homeowners association or a local town.
Right, so if these guys are found, you know, this isn't going to be like, ha ha ha, nice one, give us our mail back. It's going to be like, ha ha, you're going to jail.
I don't even think you're supposed to, like, if you know, if you're a teenager and you happen to be a babysitter, I don't even think you're supposed to put like those printed flyers from home in somebody's mailbox.
Right.
Right. You're just not authorized to open somebody's mailbox.
Yeah, don't ever open somebody's mailbox unless you are a mail carrier.
Best you can do is like fold it and tuck it in alongside the flag.
Right.
That you put up when like you have outgoing mail. Right?
10 minutes later, it's down the street because it got blown away.
The rules are pretty strict. Thanks, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. If you're thinking about contributing to a political action committee or candidate with the midterms looming, here are things to consider. For one, NerdWallet says make sure you can afford to donate. Determine which bucket of your budget this donation will come from, like your clothing budget or the one for dining out. That will help you rank its importance among other expenses. Two, start with a small contribution. Determining what you'd have to sacrifice for a donation is less painful when you start by donating, say, $10 instead of $100. And consider that your individual contribution will go further in a local campaign than some campaign, say, for president or senate that costs millions. And finally, research the rules at the Federal Election Commission website. You'll learn about things like how much you can give before your name appears on a public report. You'll have to rely more on web searches for local and state campaign information. If you'd rather give to an organization, learn about it on sites such as opensecrets.org or charitynavigator.org. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Michael gained new strength over warm tropical waters amid fears it would swiftly intensify into a major hurricane before striking Florida's northeast Gulf Coast, where coastal dwellers are boarding up homes and seeking evacuation routes. Florida Governor Rick Scott says landfall is expected tomorrow.
Let me be clear. Hurricane Michael is a monstrous storm, and the forecast gets getting more dangerous.
Scott has mobilized National Guard troops and thousands of Gulf Coast residents have been ordered to evacuate. Currently ranked as a Category 1 storm, Michael could grow into a Category 3. The Washington Post has published a surveillance image showing its missing Saudi contributor walking into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul a week ago, just before he disappeared. Turkish officials say they fear the columnist was killed there. Saudi Arabia has called the allegations that it killed writer Jamal Khashoggi baseless, but it has offered no evidence over the past 7 days to show that he ever left the building. The 59-year-old reporter went missing while on a visit to the consulate in Istanbul for paperwork to marry his Turkish fiance. Google is shutting down its long-shunned Plus social network for consumers following its disclosure of a flaw discovered in March that could have exposed some personal information of up to 500,000 people. The announcement came in a blog post, which marked Google's first public description of the privacy bug. The Wall Street Journal reports that Google deliberately avoided disclosing the problem at the time, in part to avoid drawing regulatory scrutiny and damaging its reputation. In baseball playoff action, two series are already wrapped up. In the National League, the Dodgers have advanced to the championship series by beating the Braves 6-2. In the American League, it was another sweep as the Astros moved into the championship series by beating the Indians 11-3. Also in the AL, Brock Holtz became the first player in Major League postseason history to hit for the cycle as the Red Sox crushed the Yankees 16-1. Brian Anderson on TBS.
That ball's ripped down the right field line. That is a fair ball home run and the cycle for Brock Holt. He hits for the cycle in a postseason game.
Red Sox up in that series 2-1.
What's this guy's name?
Brock Holt.
I've never heard of him.
Stop.
I haven't followed much baseball, so. Well, that's a thrashing. That's the Yankees' worst playoff loss ever.
That's
something like that.
Be.
Wowie. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Chances are you've already heard that the menu is the dirtiest item in a restaurant with about 185,000 bacteria, which is just one of the many everyday items that are dirtier than a toilet seat. Surprisingly, Fox News says the second dirtiest item in a restaurant is not in the bathroom. It's right on your table before you reach for the pepper shaker. Think about how many people have touched it before you. Does it look clean? Is it sticky? Unfortunately, it's not unusual for restaurants to overlook the cleanliness or lack thereof of each individual shaker. This goes for other shakers like salt and cheese. Besides bacteria, restaurant shakers are also allergy hazards. Shakers can accidentally be dipped or even dropped into your meal while seasoning. If the previous diner at your table contaminated the salt dispenser with their shrimp scampi, for example, and you have a serious shellfish allergy, you could be putting yourself at risk by using it. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.